Well, it's so good to be in God's house this morning. Amen. And I'm so thankful that there are people started getting here at 7:45 this morning in the time of fellowship and the food and those things that we've had this morning. I want you to know, I don't believe that Tom and Pablo and I could have wrote Brandon's script for him and got it any more like we envisioned it happened than it happened last night. So we thank the Lord for that, and I thank the Lord for Brandon and Emily and the kids. You can imagine three kids in a motel room, not used to that. They didn't get much sleep last night. He'll go get Emily and the kids here after a while. And Brandon's going to have to sneak out around lunchtime. He has to do a memorial service this afternoon back in Smithville. So if you want to say something to him, you want to speak to him, do that before the lunch break. If you turn in your Bibles to Genesis, the second chapter. My responsibility this morning is to talk to you about two conflicting worldviews. My assignment this morning is to talk to you about male and female, he created them, and specifically what's going on in the world in relations to what's being taught by the secular world about the roles of the man and the woman in the marriage. I'm going to use two terms this morning that you may not be familiar with, and hopefully you'll be more familiar with them when I get through than you are now. I'm going to use the term complementarianism and egalitarianism. Those are the two conflicting views about how the marriage should be handled as far as roles go. And we'll be looking at Genesis and a couple of more places. But I want you to know that we are living in a dangerous time. I'm going to give you some examples. Brandon said it last night, and I'll tell you this morning, cultural issues and what's trending in the culture has a tremendous impact upon the marriage, family, and local church, whether you want it to or not. Because when you hear it, you have to deal with it. And it's going to have some influence upon you. So you need to know what's happening. Ideas and words and theology really do matter. Roles and responsibilities matter. Culture is surely confused on these issues dealing with male and female. Culture is confused. And God's intentions for the role in the marriage, the family, and the church. Culture is confused. As we have seen in the fact that Caitlyn Jenner, a biological male and an Olympian medal winner, for you that are old enough to remember that, who has transed into a self-identifying female, was Glamour Magazine's 2015 Woman of the Year. Culture is confused. Or how about this one? Fallon Fox, a biological male who has trans into a self-identifying female so he can become a female MMA fighter who fights women so he can legally abuse them. The young lady that he fought when the fight was over said she had never been so overwhelmed in her life. And she was a champion in that weight division. Or how about recently, at the Ivy League Swimming Championship, a transing biological male adorned in her feminine swimwear, while a transing biological female ripped off her T-shirt to reveal her double mastectomy. That's what's trending in culture. Culture is confused really confused about male and female he made them, and they're really confused about what a male and a female is to be about doing. So that brings us to two worldviews. Any God is the one worldview, and the God of creation is the other worldview. And there's no in-between. You either believe in another God, or you believe in the God Jehovah, the God of creation, the Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Complementarianism. Here's the definition. It's this idea rooted in Scripture that God created men and women as image bearers and equal in value and personhood, but having specific characteristics, distinct roles, responsibilities, and boundaries that are visible in creation and redemption and are manifested in society, in the home, and in the local church for God's glory. It is the belief that the husband should be the spiritual head of his family, and that husband and wife have different yet complementary roles in their marriage, and that men and women have different and complementary roles in the church and society. Egalitarianism. The belief that there's no separate gender roles in marriage, and that the husband and wife will share equally in leading the family and the church. Again, another explanation. And this is where you have to have some discernment. Let me just tell you, because it might have evangelical at the first of it, doesn't mean that it's necessarily biblically based. The name evangelical has been hijacked. So here's another explanation that needs just a tad of discernment. Christian, quote, or evangelical egalitarianism, also known as biblical equality, or evangelical feminism, is egalitarianism supposedly based in Christianity. Christian or evangelical egalitarians believe that the Bible mandates gender equality, which implies equal authority in roles and responsibilities for the family and the ability for women to exercise spiritual authority in the church. Two competing worldviews. And every time I think about this, I'm just saying to myself, just show me the Word. And you know, we love the Scripture, and Russ is the one that kind of takes us to the Scripture on a regular basis. But I want to read this Scripture to you that's not in my text. And the Scripture I'm going to read from is from Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16. And it says, "Thus says the Lord, stand by the roads and look, and ask for ancient paths." The ancient paths are good paths. It says, "Where the good way is, and walk in it, and find rest for your souls." Listen, there's no band-aid for your marriage except for you to decide to do marriage the way God's Word says to do marriage. You can read five love languages. You can read his needs, her needs. You can think about all of communication skills. You can do all of these things, put all of these band-aids on your marriage, but it's not going to get right until you do it the way God says to do it. So it says, and find rest for your souls. But listen to this. But they said, we will not walk in the ancient path. And let me just tell you, there are consequences to not walking in the ancient paths. Brandon said it last night. The divorce rate in the local, quote, evangelical church is about 50%. And it will continue to be that way until we decide to do it God's way. God has established distinctions for man and woman in creation, and they have been blurred and distorted over time. Go back to the Scripture. What does the Word say? So if you have your Bibles, turn to Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. Brandon said last night that this would probably be the scripture that all four of us in some regard goes to. He went there last night. I'm there this morning. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time, but I just want to read through these 11 verses and just emphasize a couple of points as we go. So it says, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work and to keep it. To work and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the who? Man. Saying, you may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat it. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. So God gave him some command. He gave them a command. He gave them some conditions. Listen, there's conditions to be blessed of God. And one of those conditions is to do what God says and what God's Word says. Verse 18. Then the Lord God said, it's not good that man should be alone. And all the men said, amen. It's not good for us to be alone because by ourselves we cannot fulfill the mandate that God has given us for the marriage. I will make him a helper, the King James, a helpmeet fit for him. So right here we get into this thinking of complementarianism. Okay? He needed someone to complement or help him to do what God had given him to do. Verse 19, for now out of the ground the Lord God had formed every beast of the field and every bird of the heavens and brought them to the man to see what he'd call them. And just another thing, so he made all the creatures. And then when he got ready to make us in his image, man, it got pretty special. He breathed life into Adam. And we see what happens when the woman came. He put Adam to sleep and took a rib, and out of man, here is woman. Man, that's special. And whatever the man called every living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all livestock and to the birds of the heavens and every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper fit for him. There was, in all of this creation, all of the things that had been made, he still needed someone to come alongside and complement him in what God had given the two of them, now one, to do together. Brandon did a great job. There's, please, ladies, listen. There is no disrespect in being a helper. Because he gave us the scripture last night about God's referred to as a helper. The Holy Spirit of God is referred to as the helper. Listen, there's no disrespect, especially when God has given us a title. Amen? So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and while he slept, he took one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. Made the woman and brought her to who? The man, to complement him. And then the man said, What a way to explain it. This is at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. What a beautiful picture this morning. We have a couple married 44 years, and we have a son and his bride of 20 years. And so they have left. He has left father and mother, and he has taken his helpmeet, and they have cleaved together, and they're thriving in the role that God has given them. What a beautiful picture. And they shall become one flesh, one in Christ, one in flesh. And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed. And let me just tell you. Let me tell you this. The rest of the Bible just hammers down on what Genesis 2:15 through 25 says. It doesn't back away. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say anything except to affirm that. Jesus, Paul, and Peter just get more emphatic in looking at the complementary nature of man and woman together and the distinct roles. Let me just tell you what Paul says. 1 Corinthians 11:3. But I want you to understand that the head of every man is Christ. The head of a wife is her husband. And the head of Christ is God. How clear is that? And nowhere is that contradicted. 1 Corinthians 11:8. For man was not made from woman, but woman from man. 1 Corinthians 11:11. Nevertheless, in the Lord, woman is not independent of man, nor man of woman. It's kind of like the chicken and egg. You can't have one without the other. And that's the way it is. That's the way God made it. It won't work unless we've got man and woman. Man is to work. I'm not going to dabble in Russ's stuff too much. God made Adam a what? A helper. Meaning he is the leader. I love the terminology that we heard last night. Leader, lover, protector, provider. I love those words. I also love those words, submitter, supporter, manager, that the wife is. Those are great words to define the roles that the man and the woman have. Now let me tell you. This all happened before the fall. Sin had no effect upon this, the way God set it up. Adam was given the boundaries or the rules. He was given the charge to name the animals. Adam was to lead Eve. Equal in personhood and equal in value. But there's no doubt who God intended the leader to be. And I'll just tell you, men, there's no doubt today who God intends to be the leader in the home and the leader in the church. There's no doubt about it. And this is not in my notes, but I know of a specific example right now of where there's a couple in the midst of a bad divorce in which he was Mr. Mom and she was the provider. Listen, somewhere that's going to come unsprung. Did you know when the man is the mom and she is the provider, somewhere down the road she's going to resent that. And it's going to come unsprung. You've got to do it the way God's Word says to do it if you want it to be blessed. But then we come to chapter 3 of Genesis. Now the serpent, in verse 1, was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, did God actually say? So, yea, hath God said? Wow. What are we hearing today? We're hearing all kinds of other opinions and all kinds of, quote, people who have decided that God didn't do it this way. So he said, did God actually say? He didn't just come out and say, God was wrong, don't pay any attention to him. He questioned God. And let me tell you what's happening over and over and over. God and God's word is being questioned. And how did they go about it? They went after the marriage. They went after male and femaleness, which is basic and foundational. The serpent wanted to curse them. And let me just tell you, that's what he wants to do to you and your marriage today. He wants to destroy it. Remember? He came to kill, steal, and destroy. And I want to tell you, when a marriage is destroyed, the ramifications are widespread. When the woman saw the fruit was good for food, she took of its fruit and ate. She did not consult with her husband, and her husband did not intervene. She ignored the word that had been given to her, and then she ignored her husband, and she gave the fruit to her husband. Adam follows the leadership of Eve, his wife. This is the first sin. And what was it? The questioning of God's word. The rejection of God's word. What we have here in the first sin is the first role reversal. Adam abdicated his place of leadership and his responsibility. Adam was passive and followed the leadership of his wife. And let me just tell you, men, there are women who are plenty capable of taking leadership in your home. And they may do a fine job for it. But let me tell you this again. All the while disrespecting you for not being the leader that God created you to be. You see the dynamic? They thrive in it. They're good at it. But all the while, they resent you not being what God created you to be for them. Josh Bice says the will of God was resisted. The word of God was rejected. And listen to this one. The way of God was redefined. And that is exactly what's happening today. And sometimes we don't even understand it. The ways of God are being redefined. And all it takes is seven people to have an opinion and somebody's going to believe it. When people tell you something, just ask them to show you in the Word. It's pretty simple. So, why were we made in the image of God? Oh, the shorter catechism, all the catechisms, the first question is, what's the chief duty of man? Why did he make us in his image? To glorify God and to enjoy him forever. But I want to ask you this question. Why was man and woman made in the image of God? Listen to me. Mankind, the human, is no accident. Listen, it happened by the ability of a divine and a creational genius. Listen, there's no big bang when it comes to man and woman. Only Genesis, genius, okay? Did you ever see the correlation between those two words? It took a divine being to do it the way he did it. Man and woman was the masterpiece of achievement. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." Only one made in His image. Only mankind made in His image. Listen. This is a very eye-opening statement that I'm going to make. And we saw it last night in the marriage union. Only mankind can be God's representation as we live this life, because we are made in God's image. Only mankind can rule and have dominion. And when we look at every man and woman, listen to me carefully, we're not seeing a little God, but when we look at every man and woman, we're seeing a little picture of God Himself, made in His image. So, why did He make them male and female? This image bearing is a very important part of this. Our maleness and our femaleness, in our maleness and in your femaleness, we all bear His image. Man and woman both bear the image of God. Verse 27, so God created man in His own image. In the image of God He created him. Male and female He created them. In this passage, He says three times, in His image. In His image for a purpose, that we might live for His glory and do things that would honor Him. He made male and female. He made men and women. He programmed their DNAs, their anatomy, and their physiology. Programmed it. Specifically put it in place. Listen, there's no room here for evolution or Big Bang. No room at all. He had a creational intent in mind that man and woman might represent Him and live for His glory, that other people might come to see Him and His Son, Jesus Christ. So, men, you ought to do this occasionally. The next time you're admiring your bride, you ought to say to yourself, "This is incredible." This is incredible. God made her fit for me. Our manhood and womanhood, I was going to ask my language major. Our manhood and womanhood are so basic that we take it for granted. But I want you to get this. Today's culture is not taking it for granted. Today, our femaleness and maleness is under direct attack. Can't take it for granted anymore. You can't let your little ones grow up in your home and them not be taught about their maleness and femaleness. Because if you don't teach them, I promise you, the world is. We can no longer take it for granted that little boys know they're little boys and little girls know they're little girls. And I want to tell you, these two books are incredible. And if you've been sending your kids to church camp, they've been taught this. Well, listen, Brandon got after this last night. I'm going to preach on this tomorrow. When you sit down, after I've taught them at camp, we've taught them at camp, after I've taught them here, when you sit down and teach them, they pay way more attention to you than they do to me. And at least you ought to be affirming what your church is teaching and preaching about manhood, womanhood, and the marriage. Wow. Just this week. Now, I wouldn't know this woman even existed if it wasn't for my grandkids. And I'm going to say this name, and I'm probably going to say it wrong, and probably everybody in here is going to know who I'm talking about. Just this week, at the 2022 Brit Awards, their Grammys or whatever they have over there, a woman who got several awards, probably the top artist award, and but let me just say, tell you this. For the first time ever in the Brit Awards, there were no male and female categories. There was no female artist of the year. There was no male artist of the year. Okay? Everything is being pushed upon us that we're equal in all regards, physiologically, mentally, strength-wise. Sameness. Is it Adelaide? Is that her name? Adele. Thank you. I told you I wouldn't even get the name right. Thank you. I knew somebody would know. Listen, she was the top getter. But let me tell you what got her. While on stage, she said this, "I so enjoy being a woman." Oh, wrong thing to do. Now she's a misogynist. She is this homo and that homo. Why? Because she was willing to say, "I'm a woman and I enjoy being a woman." And let me tell you, women, you ought to enjoy being women, and you ought to teach your little girls to enjoy being little girls. This week. But God did not create man and woman and set them on a shelf to be admired. Did he? He had higher plans for us, that we might live for His glory, be His evangelists with our lives, and enjoy Him forever. So what was He doing? Why male and female? Why these plans? Because He had plans for us. Plans and a blueprint. Detail. Man, if you're reading through the one-year Bible with us, they're all over the tabernacle. They're all over the building of the tabernacle. Detail plans. There's detailed plans in here for maleness, femaleness, and the marriage. Detail. Children. Raising children. There's details in here. So, they had duties and responsibility. Wow. Brandon did a great job. To do it for God's glory. To do it and proclaim the gospel while you are doing it. God had a purpose. Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over all things. He had a plan in mind. To not just populate the earth, but to populate the earth with His word and with the gospel. Verse 28. And God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on earth." God, listen, desired to have His image spread all over the world. He desired that the gospel be spread as man went about populating the earth. His world needed cared for. It needed populated. It needed shaped. And we see in Genesis 2 how the man and woman are to work together, complement each other in making it happen. They were to populate the earth and rule over it. And it is here that we see this complementary nature of the male and female roles. They were to work together. So let me just tell you this. Can we not see with the naked eye that the bodies, physical bodies, were complementary in their roles? Sure we can. Can we not see that not only are the bodies complementary, but so are the roles that He has given man and woman to do? They are to work together. So I want to finish up with four words. And God bless them. Listen, when you do it the way God says to do it, it doesn't mean you won't have any troubles. Because what does trouble in your relationship cause us to do? Become more Christ-like. It's not that we won't have any troubles, but when we do it God's way, we will be blessed. God gave man and woman His special favor. All the world was happy. The first couple, I promise you, Adam was really happy. And God loved them specially. And He gave them something to do specially. The sixth day had capped it off. On the sixth day, the God of creation became a father. Did you know you have a father? How's a little prayer go? Our Father. Huh? He became a father. He looked at His children with delight. Oh, tell me how proud you are, how you delight in some accomplishment of your child. Do you know you delight God? You delight your Heavenly Father? We delight our Heavenly Father when we do it like He says to do it. And we bring Him glory. He was especially pleased with male and female and how they're to work together. So we finally got to that word, complementary. Complementary. They were different. Huh? Come on now, we're different, right? But we what? We fit together. They did not have the same form. Oh, come on, guys. We know this. We are driven by sight, even to the naked eye. There are noticeable differences in male and femaleness. How basic can you get? Have they stopped teaching human anatomy in college? What are they doing? What are they doing? Somebody tell me, what are they doing in these liberal universities with human anatomy? God made them distinctly different so they could come together in a sexual oneness. The happiness and satisfaction and product is something only a divine genius of divine being could do. This sexual union gives man and woman the privilege and joy of creating life. Doing something special. What was the special? Animals can create life. What is special? Doing something special. Producing offspring that you evangelize and they become spiritual offspring that goes throughout the world, populating the world with spiritual beings who live for God's glory, made in His image, enjoying Him forever. He gave us that privilege. Malachi 2:15. Did he not make them one with a portion of the Spirit in their union? And what was the one God seeking? Godly offspring. So guard yourselves in your spirit, and let none of you be faithless to the wife of your youth. Only in the practice of complementarianism, each doing his part, talk about lifestyle evangelism that Brandon talked about last night. Only when we do our part and accept the roles given to us by God can we do our part in seeing God work and produce spiritual offspring. Only when we do it God's way will it happen. So, does this not just blow you away? That this God did it such? So, let me tell you this. We've got to get back teaching God's creational intent for male and female and what He created them for. The world's lost its compass. Matter of fact, much of the church has lost its compass. So a survey for a high school graduating class. Kids are about to go off to college. They take a survey of possible job opportunities. Banker, computer programmer, occupational therapist, air controller, dietitian, teacher, historian, a mission counselor, lawyer, health worker, hospital administrator, missionary, social worker, real estate broker, disc jockey. No stay-home mom, no mother, no wife. Don't you think we've taken that for granted? We've allowed that to be taken for granted too long? Brandon, what did Brandon say last night? There's no higher calling. Did anybody catch that? There's no higher calling for a woman than to be a mother. The church is confused, and we're not raising our children to know God's creational intent for their male and femaleness. No, they do not know their purpose for marriage. And listen to me, we can't expect the world to do marriage, and we can't expect the world to fix the teaching on male and femaleness, because we're the only one that has the truth, and we've got to teach it. The world does not care. It does not have God's Word, but we care, and we have God's Word, and we have His Spirit. We know the ancient paths, and we're to live and teach God's creational intent. Matter of fact, we ought to get back and use our catechism more often to teach our children our primary purpose. Why were we put here? To live for God's glory. We are to teach male and female. He made them for a purpose. So I'm going to close with a story and set Russ up to teach on biblical manhood. I want to tell you about a young woman that was not confused. And again, I heard this at the Founders Pastors Conference in Birmingham in June of 2019. Some of you have heard this. Tom, a computer geek at the Atlanta Journal newspaper, he sat in a cubicle and looked at a computer all day long. We have people that know what I'm talking about. One day, in walked Sandra, a detective with the Atlanta, Georgia Police Department, who was a policeman's policewoman. I mean, she was a real cop. She was a lead detective. She had worked on the streets And she was very skilled with her hands, martial arts, and her weapon. But Tom the Geek said, "Woman." And he noticed her. During their engagement, they went out to eat, and then they took a short walk down the street to the Fox Theater. On the way, they were confronted by three armed men who demanded their wallets, their purse, and their jewelry. All these thoughts are running through Tom's mind. He's thinking, "I'm good at computers. She's good with her hands. She's good with her feet. And she's good with her gun." All of this is just running through his mind. And these men, then they pressed the issue and said, "If you don't do what we're telling you to do, we're going to take her." So Tom reached in his pocket to get his wallet, and as he pulled his hand out, he hit the man standing in the middle harder than he had ever hit anything in his life. That's the last thing Tom remembers. In the meantime, with the disturbance caused by Tom hitting the guy in the nose, Sandra pulls out her gun, orders the men on the ground, and calls 911 for an ambulance and the police. Tom wakes up in the ambulance on the way to the hospital, bandages, concussions going on. But let me tell you what Sandra was thinking. "This is the kind of man I want to marry. I want to marry a man who's willing to protect me and take care of me." And they were soon married. Dear Lord, I pray that you would take this message this morning and you do with it what you see fit to do. I pray, dear Lord, that we would more and more live for your glory, live for your honor, do the things that you tell us to do, that people might see your Son, Jesus Christ, through our lives. I thank you, dear Lord, that you've created us male and female, and I thank you, dear Lord, that you've given us specific roles to do. I do pray, dear Lord, that as Russ comes and as Tom comes to talk about manhood and womanhood, I pray that you'd bless them, and I pray that you'd teach us through this conference exactly how we can walk this out in the home and in the local church for your honor and your glory. Lord, we love you. We praise you. And it's in Christ's name that we do pray. Amen.